Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. And for those of you who are, happy Mother's Day to you. We are in the second week of a two-week series. We started last week out of the book of John, chapter 15, where it gives a clear picture that Jesus gives to abide in Him and how important that is to mature, to grow. But not only the purpose of growing that we get out of that passage, there is a pruning process. And last week we talked about pruning in progress, but really pruning for progress, that we all need to be pruned, and we likened it to plants. And Pastor Aaron came up and gave a great illustration about the vine, his muscadine vine, in his yard, about nurturing it, pruning it, and then so it would grow more fruit. And that we likened it to our spiritual lives, that Jesus does that. We have to abide, and He is the vine. And we have to abide in Him. Let me define abide again like we did last week. I want to share with you, because sometimes we listen to abide, and that's not a word that we speak in our normal language to each other, but you might for these words: to comply with, to obey, to observe, to follow, to keep to hold to conform to adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance with, uphold, heed, accept, go along with, acknowledge, and respect. All of these synonyms are related to the word abide. And certainly with one or two of those, you can grasp the concept about abiding. And this is what Jesus says that we need to do in order to grow. Now, as we accepted salvation and accepted Jesus as our Savior, the other part of that is recognizing and accepting Him as Lord. And for Him to be Lord, our goal is to grow and become more like Christ. But in order to do that, we need to be connected to Him. And not just, yes, I'm saved, but if He's my Lord, then I need to know what it is in my life He needs to be in charge of, which of course is everything. But there are different parts of our life that, even as believers, I don't know about you, but for me, there were things that I held back or things that I took back that I needed to keep resurrendering to Him. It's like He knows best, but then all of a sudden I take it back and it's like, whoa, if I had left it in Jesus' hands, it would have been great. But when I took it back, I messed it up. And so to abide in Him, to grow into maturity, He says we need to be connected to Him. But today, we want to do the second part of that, John 15, 3-8. And I want to read this passage to you. It says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you." There's that word again. "As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." You see the connection here. Unless you're in Jesus, there will be no fruit. Unless His Spirit rules in your body, lives in you, there can be no fruit. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." The fruit in us has got to prosper, has got to grow for people to recognize that we are disciples of Christ. That who we belong to, we are aligning ourselves, we are identifying with Christ, not just in salvation with the death, burial, and resurrection, but to the life that He lived. The life that He lived, and we can attest to that by the fruit that grows in our lives. But we can't have the fruit in our lives, according to Scripture, unless we're connected to the source. The 1,000-year-old vine. Listen to this. In Hampton Court near London, there's a grapevine under glass. It is about 1,000 years old and has but one root, which is at least 2 feet thick. Some of the branches are 200 feet long. Because of skillful cutting and pruning, The vine produces several tons of grapes each year, even though some of the smaller branches are 200 feet from the main stem. They bear much fruit because they are joined to the vine and allow the life of the vine to flow through them. 200-foot-long branches attached to this vine so far away, you think, how can it ever get what it needs? But it does. And that's the complexity of it and the beauty of it, and it bears much fruit. That is just like you and I when we're connected to Jesus. That's what this parable is about. That's what this story is about us being connected to the source of power, the source of nourishment, the source of strength that we need to grow fruit in our lives. And the fruit is not just anything. It's likened to that of which the Holy Spirit grows in us. The fruit of gentleness and patience. And the greatest fruit that we can grow, which is what really people are supposed to identify with, is love. Loving our neighbor. And if we don't have that, then we don't have anything. It's a parable of importance. In regards to a seed, let me tell you about this little parable here. A seed, which is God's word, planted in soil, which is the condition of our heart. And roots will only grow based on how the word is received. That seed is planted. This parable in the book of Luke, he gives us an example and then he gives us an explanation. And you've heard this before. It says, a farmer went out to sow seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on. And the birds ate it up. Some fell on the rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. But then a few verses later, he explains it. He says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. And when they hear it, but they have no root, they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands to those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature, it says. But the seed of good soil, the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, who retain the word, and by persevering produce a crop. Understand, he adds the persevering. That means it's not going to be easy. That life is hard. It rains on the just and the unjust, just like everybody. But it's the one who hears the word that through perseverance retains it, and a crop, a fruit of those efforts grows. Roots are important. And the root we need to have, according to Jesus, is the root that grows from the seed of the Word of God in us. Why? Because without the root of a plant, for a plant or a tree, it cannot grow. And if it cannot grow, it cannot produce fruit. If you don't grow, then you're not producing fruit. Because that's when the fruit comes, is when we grow and we become mature and we have to be connected to and abide in the vine. And our world needs a lot of good fruit, right? Not just for physical nourishment, but more importantly, for spiritual sustenance. That's where our spiritual growth, our spiritual nourishment comes from being connected with Jesus, from having his word not just on our lips, but inside us, doing what it's called to do, letting the Holy Spirit work it into our hearts, into our attitudes, into our actions, into our thought patterns, into our emotions. For Christians, bearing fruit is not an option. If you're a believer, if you're a Christian, if you profess to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is not an option for you. In John 15, just a few verses down from our text, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." You see, Jesus says, I chose you to bear much fruit. That is your purpose, is to grow, not just to accept the Lord and say, I'm there, I've got it, that's all that I need to do. That's not all that you need to do. Because you're committing to growth. You surrender. I surrender all. I surrender all. Have you surrendered all? Every emotion, every attitude. Yes, we carry baggage with us sometimes and we retain things from our old self, but we have to surrender that. We have to come to the realization that everything I have belongs to God. Everything I am belongs to Him now. I'm just a manager, not an owner anymore. And so I need to surrender everything to Him. And the way to do that is to abide in Jesus, to stay connected to the vine. Scripture also informs us that there are consequences for the type of fruit that we bear. Because Scripture says there's bad fruit and there's good fruit. In Matthew 7, it says this, "Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." Now listen to this. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Those are pretty strong words. If you're not bearing fruit, if you're not fulfilling the purpose that Jesus has for you, that God has planned, that plan that He has for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose, if you don't embrace that and you're not bearing fruit, if that's the part of this Christian life that you don't adhere to or aspire to or commit to, the Scripture is a harsh realization. Roots are not only important, but the type of soil they grow in determine the type of fruit that grows. They grow, and it's determined by the soil that they're in. And if it does, the type of fruit that the soil is planted in will grow. Soil health is of utmost importance. And here, the soil is your heart. So what's your heart condition today? What is bearing down? What is causing you to your heart to hurt? Your heart to be bitter? Your heart to be angry? Or the other side, what's causing it to be joyful and encouraging and optimistic? That's the soil here. This is what grows. This is what's inside of us. This is where God looks. He doesn't look at our outward appearance. He looks inside and say, what is the condition of your heart? You're responsible for that. Yes, the world has its ways, temptations, and it bears down. But how you receive it is up to you. How it grows in you is up to you. How you choose to let it grow. In plants, because they are out of sight, roots are often out of mind. They are widely overlooked as to their significance in plant health. It's documented that 80% of all plant disorders include soil or root problems. So what are the role of roots in our life? Without roots, there is no fruit. Without us growing, there is no fruit. Well, one, roots provide a solid anchor. The first major function of roots is to keep plants upright and stable. And it says, the plant root system anchors the plant in the soil and provides physical support. The redwood trees, about 1,000 meters tall, have stood erect for 1,000 years only because millions of individual fibrous roots dig into the ground, even though the depth of penetration is only about 5 meters. The roots for a tree, for a plant, give it support to stand up and do, to spread its, not wings because that's a bird, that's what I was about to say, to spread its branches and its leaves and to bloom and to stand upright and give beauty and attention to itself. During great winds, a well-established root system will not be knocked over or uprooted, while plants that are shallowly rooted can be easily destroyed. I worry about that sometimes because I've got 2 huge pine trees in my backyard. Matter of fact, me and my neighbor were talking about this day before yesterday, and they sit on a hill, and we're talking about, I got one tree that I got a buddy of mine coming over to look at because I'm thinking it's dying, and I don't want to fall on my neighbor's house, and I don't want to fall on my house, so he's coming over to look at it to see an arborist friend. Matter of fact, he goes here, Jeremy Webb, and he's going to come look at it and see if it's a tree that I need to take down, but I look at the pine trees back there because pine trees have shallow roots, and it sits on a hill, and I'm just thinking, one of these times, those big old pine trees are going to come down. But what's holding them up is the root system. Those roots come together. And if you'll notice, if you've ever dug anything up, that you'll know that the roots are tough to get up. I had 2 holly bushes on this corner of my house a couple years ago, and I hated them. Every time you walk by them, you run into them and stick yourself. The birds would build nests in them, and they would, when in the nesting season, you'd walk by it, and the bird would come out and you know, chase you down, get away from my nest. It's like, I've had it. I don't like these bushes. I get cut on them every time I trim them. They are going away. So I get my chainsaw out. I cut them down. It was great. But then I had the base. I had the root system to deal with. And so, you know, I worked harder instead of smarter. And for the first one, I got in there and I started digging. I got my shovel out. I said, you're coming out. I started digging and I started pulling and I started pulling and I'm pulling. And the front of my house, I pulled this one, and the roots of this one bush went about 20 feet down the side of my house. I pulled it out. And I said, I'm not doing that again. So the next one, I got a sawzall, and I cut the roots around the base, and I pulled it up out of there, and I left the rest. But the roots go deep. The roots not only go deep, they go out. They form a base for it to stand up in, and it's a source of anchor. Real quick, we've got college students in there, and we've got high schoolers that we're about to have a graduate service next week for that are graduating. They're going on to, most of them are going on to college or jobs. But let me speak to you for a second. There's a statistic out that says students, high school students, once they leave and they graduate and they go on to college, and this is, I'm talking about Christian students who have been active in their youth group. 51% of them, when they go on to college, they hang up their faith. And one of those things is that their hearts, the soil of their hearts, and the roots that they have aren't being nurtured by the generations ahead of them. That's adults in here, that's us, that need to give them what they need. The word, direction, support, accountability. Students, you will be tempted to face many things on your own because it's your decision now. How many of you will really call back home and ask mom and dad about a particular issue? Some of you will, but many of you, you're out there, you're going to look to the people you're hanging with. You're going to try to make these decisions on your own, and they will be hard. But remember, even though you're growing and you're making your own decisions, we all need advisors. We all need mentors. We all need counsel as to how to make right decisions. And I want to encourage you to do that. The ones that lead us to a deeper faith and not a shallow faith that will eventually cause us to fall when the storms occur in your life, if you go it alone. Don't go it alone. Ephesians 3 tells us to be rooted and grounded in love. We must stay firmly anchored and grounded so that we do not wither away. This is essential not only for our spiritual survival and for the fruit that we bear, but God will use it to make a difference in other people's lives because that's what it's for. God wants you to be seen. God wants you to be noticed, but not in arrogance like, look at me, see me, notice me. He wants people to be drawn to a love that is undeniable, a joy that is like, how do you have so much joy in a world like this? To provide an opportunity for you to show Jesus in your life. And an opportunity, a divine appointment to speak about the gospel that you know that lives in you. The good news to share and give it away. The second thing that root system provides is nourishment. The roots are the beginning of the vascular system pipeline that moves water and minerals from the soil up through the leaves and fruits. Plants and trees make every effort to send down roots as far as possible or out as far as possible, like that bush that was on the corner of my house. But it's to get water and nourishment and minerals that they need. And we must do likewise in searching for that living water and the nourishment from the Word that is described as the Holy Spirit inside of us to get the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow. Without the Word, without the Spirit, without submitting to the Spirit, we don't grow. We don't grow. We don't get the nourishment we need from the Word. So then when we don't have the root system, then any trouble comes around, any storm comes around, it's going to topple us over. We're going to question. We're going to doubt. God's word is the primary source of these spiritual nutrients, where we will get the nourishment we need for the roots to grow deeper and the fruit that we bear to be good and to be much. I love the word picture we get from Jeremiah when he describes for us his heart regarding God's word. He says in Jeremiah 15, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty." Can you say that about God's word? Can you say it's a joy, it's a delight? I want it inside me. I can't get enough of it because I belong to the Lord. The word lives in me, so people know the word lives in me because they see the joy in me. They see me standing up and being strong. He's my refuge. He's my strength. But unless God's word is inside of you, giving you that, that won't be evident in your life. It won't be. So how do you feel about God's word? Is it a chore? Is it another thing to do? Is it vain repetition? Well, I guess I got to look at my word today and see what God has for me today. Okay. Oh, I've heard that before. I don't need to read all of that. Does it spur on you to want to know more about his word, to understand more about his word? Scripture says, "Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given. Knock and the door will be open." That's the Holy Spirit in us opening up understanding about his word. And when we understand, it's like, wow, I get that now. That's how I want to operate. And you've grown a little bit. The third thing is a strong immunity. One more characteristic of roots important to understand as it also applies to our spiritual condition. It has been discovered that roots fend off diseases and viruses by producing antibiotic microorganisms to help fight off pathogens both in the soil and the air. Here's a quote from the U.S. Agricultural Report. It says, "The rhizosphere is the area close around the roots in the soil. This area is very vital to the growing plant. If a plant is to be healthy and vigorous, then the rhizosphere must be active with a healthy biological life. Then as roots begin to develop, they begin to secrete a high enzyme concentrate combined with various organic acids. These warriors against disease not only produce secretions that kill or suppress harmful fungi or fungi, mold, and pathogenic bacteria, but some bacillus provides the plant with needed enzymes and material to produce their own substance called phytalexin. Pronounce that three times fast, which is toxin to certain diseases, pathogens, and fungus." That's a lot that these roots do. When we have the Word of God inside of us, it's holy, it's pure, it's right, it's prescription, it's remedy. It fights off the world. It fights off the temptations of the devil. It keeps our feet on solid ground and planted firmly. But you see, the world, if we let it, the devil will find any little crack to get a foothold. He'll find anything in us that's a little weakness, that's a little flaw, and he'll figure out a way to get in there and wedge it and make it bigger, speaking lies that you might believe. But if you have the word of God in you, he can't fight against the word. It's a double-edged sword. Dividing joint and marrows, it cuts to the heart. Spiritually, the world is full of all kinds of wrong beliefs generated by false religious systems. And they're popping up all the time in the world. And these can be characterized as religious diseases. Those who have not built up strong, healthy spiritual root system have been unable to ward off these deadly spiritual viruses. Even the experiences and circumstances of life that are common to all, believers and unbelievers, can cause the word to fall away and affect our lives. This will cause us to bear bad fruit or no fruit of all. And we've already heard what Scripture says about bad fruit and no fruit. The branches that bear no fruit are cut off and thrown away. And the branches that bear bad fruit are cut off and thrown into the fire. I don't know about you, when I read that passage, I have to look at myself. And I have to say, where am I bearing bad fruit? Where am I causing offense to somebody? Where am I causing people to stumble? Where am I causing myself to stumble? And I have to remedy that. From this, we must see the absolute importance of remaining rooted, grounded, nourished and healthy. So how can we accomplish this? John 15, it says, abide in me. How do you accomplish it? You abide in Jesus. Verse 7 and 8 of our text says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The remedy is abide in Christ. Be connected, remain, agree with that this is right. Christ in me, not just my salvation, but Christ in me, the Holy Spirit in me to teach me, to rebuke me if needed, to open up the word, to correct me. Submit yourself to that. It's not bad. It's for your own well-being, and it's for the well-being of those around you that God wants to reach through you. When we abide in Christ, we get all that he offers, all that we need. When we abide in Christ, we are able to see and experience the hand of God, the heart of God, and his every intentional and purposeful deposit in our lives, whether by trial or revelation, he is nurturing us to maturity. And we get both. We get revelation. Thank you, Jesus. I see that. Or we get a trial. I don't understand, but I know the Lord is my Lord still, so I'll follow him. And through it all, and that's what I call the abundant life, because the abundant life is everything that he's planned according for us to go through, ordained or allowed to mature us, to grow us, to be more like Jesus. Today is Mother's Day. Motherhood is a good illustration to help us understand God's nurturing nature, because it defines a love that is safe, a love that is always, a love that is unconditional, a love that is pure, a love that is sure. When a child experiences a mother's love, the implications can be life-changing, life-saving even. Mothers are a gift and have special gifts to nurture children like no one else can. They've been created by God with those special gifts. You know, that is part of, and not that dads don't have it and people don't have it in general, but moms, like God, can see the best in us that could be there. And they desire that. They want that. They pray for that. And that's what God sees in us. But in order to get there, we have to be connected, abide in Christ. There's a way, and it's to be connected to Christ, abide in him, to grow, to mature, to bear fruit, which we're called to do. You know, how many parents here want your children to stay with you all the way until they're till you go? I mean, maybe some of you do. I know my wife raised her hand. Yes, I want my children to stay with me. Sorry, babe, that ain't gonna happen. I'll guide you through that, darling. But most of the time you're saying, go. Not because you don't want to be around them anymore, but maybe you do. Maybe it's like, I'm tired of you being here. But maybe you want to see the greatest potential in your children. You want to see them grow. You want to see them bear fruit. You want to see them make something of themselves. You want to see them follow the path that God has for them. That's what God wants. God knows our hearts and the plans for us better than we know ourselves. And he wants that for us. Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot tell you how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. Lorne Sanney of the Navigators wrote of his mother, my mother gave birth to me in a frontier house on a Midwestern prairie. On the kitchen counter, she placed a list of the ingredients necessary for my formula. At the top of the list was prayer, and that remained at the top of her list for me throughout her life. I have her to thank for firmly establishing my spiritual roots. Thomas Edison said, I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me an influence that has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother in different mental caliber, I should have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me in the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Abraham Lincoln said of his mother, "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me my whole life." Author, minister, and theologian John Killinger wrote this: "I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who was born to the promise to a virgin named Mary. I believe in the love Mary gave her son that caused her to follow him in his ministry and stand by his cross as he died. I believe in the love of all mothers and its importance in the lives of the children they bear. It is stronger than steel, softer than down, and more resilient than a green sapling on the hillside. It closes wounds, melts disappointments, and enables the weakest child to stand tall and straight in the fields of adversity. I believe that this love, even at its best, is only a shadow of the love of God, a dark reflection of all that we can expect of him, both in this life and in the next. And I believe that one of the most beautiful sights in the world is a mother who lets this greater love, God's love, flow through her to her child, blessing the world with the tenderness of her touch and the tears of her joy." Mothers, thank you, specifically mothers who love God and God's Spirit flows through you. Thank you for being who you are, for being the gift that God gave to us, for being the gift that is within you that you constantly give away and allow God to fill you back up. Thank you for that. I know that my mom isn't saved, but my mom, a lot of good things flowed through my mom. And I'm praying, and I think I've told you before, I'm praying for her regularly that she would know Jesus. But even in the world that we lived in when I was growing up, she sacrificed and she gave a lot of good things that I didn't realize or was thankful for until I grew and matured myself to recognize that. And I'm just so glad that I still have the opportunity to thank her for those things. But hope even more that one day she knows Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Today, not just for mothers, but we want to recognize that all women have the Holy Spirit of God flowing through them to give. So today, at the end of the service, as you exit, we have a rose for each of you. And some of our teenagers will be standing at the doors. We'll be handing you a rose. So we want to thank you for your beauty, for the root system in your life, for standing strong in adversity, for standing in the gap for your children, for praying for them, for walking with them, for understanding them, and then for pushing them out of the nest to grow, because that's what we all have to do, those hard things. So thank you. You are a blessing. Now let me close with a scripture out of Psalm 1 through 3. And it's about the blessing of being rooted. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. The root system that holds us up, that gives us nourishment, that wards off the diseases of this world, is necessary. And the only way to have that is to abide in Christ. There's a blessing from having roots. We're able to ward off all that stuff. We're able to walk in the right way, not in the counsel of the wicked, but in the counsel of the wise. Because our heart is maturing, our life is maturing, because we've stayed connected, we've remained, we've abided in the vine. And you, child of God, branch of the vine, are called to bear much fruit. That's the Holy Spirit's purpose in you, is to help you grow and bear much fruit. Why? For the glory of God, that he might be known, that he might be lifted up, that he might be famous in people who don't know him yet. So thank you for choosing to be planted. And together as a church, we help each other help those roots grow in our lives. Father God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word. Father, may it come into us. May we receive it. And may it give us the nourishment the strength that we need for the roots in us to grow deeper, Father. May we always commit to stay connected to the vine, connected to Jesus, to abide in you, Father, so that we may get everything that we can from you, Father, to grow, whether by trial or revelation, whether by allowance or ordination, Father. May we walk in everything you have for us, God. And if we're connected to you, we will never falter. We will never fail. We will stand right where you want us to stand and bloom the fruit in our lives that you've called us to, Father. So we thank you for that. We ask your blessing now as we take this communion and we remember what your son Jesus did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. And thank you, Spirit, for helping us remember that. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.